She in a different class. And the church have to learn the flow. Now, I called on the spur of the moment, but she had no idea. She took a whooping and stayed here to this church. I admire her for that, because I'm trying to get her in a certain groove. I'm training her in a certain groove. But this is a gift to the body of Christ. She's not going to have just those little beats. She's going to take it to another dimension. Now, I've seen her in heydays. I've seen her when she hit them songs, boy, them songs, you want to run out of here. But you just got to get adjusted to her way of ministry. And that's where people have a problem at, you know. We all go Baptist. How many former Baptists I got in here? See, there we are. There we are. Right there, there we are. That's where we are, but we're growing every day. We're growing. Nothing wrong with the Baptist. We're growing every day. You may be seated. Open your Bible to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 11. Let's look at this verse again. Get some understanding. Chapter 11. Our golden text for this whole series is the 26th verse. We're talking about communion and early part of the chapter, in the 10th chapter, they call it the Lord's Supper. We're dealing with the Lord's table. Go back then, 1 Corinthians 10. Let's read our text first, though. 26th verse, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Now, the emphasis there is showing the Lord's death till he come. You notice it didn't say showing the Lord's ministry or showing his miracles or his power. No, it says showing his death till he come. So this communion we partake of, this bread and this wine, cannot be discerned physically or sense-wise. It has to be discerned in the realm of the spirit. We have to take communion in the realm of the spirit, that the Holy Spirit can unfold to us the revelation of what the Lord's death really means. Yes, sir. You can't understand communion without understanding the cross. Amen. You can't understand the cross without understanding communion. This is a significant ordinance, a significant doctrine that the Lord has put in the church. Communion is so important. You know, we talked about the lad lunch in the 6th chapter, you remember? And then Jesus, many things, Jesus said, I'm the true bread. I'm the bread of life. I'm a bread that come down from heaven. Well, religious folks couldn't understand it. They began to mumble when he talked about eating my flesh and drink my blood. Still, some of you all here that don't even realize that, what that means in the 6th chapter. See, he was saying, eat my death, eat my burial, eat my resurrection, eat my ascension, eat my place sitting on the right hand of the Father, eat the rapture. I'm coming back and get you. See, communion should remind us of all that. So then we got this miracle bread. These people followed him for the miracle of the bread. He took them 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed all those people, and people started following him then. But it was a miracle. It was supernaturally done by the Spirit of God, but they was following him just for the bread. Now, when you go talk about materialism in the body of Christ, that's where it is. People serving God for what they can get out of it. Secondly, you have, he ran that bread in the wilderness. That was supernatural too, but it was just for physical means. But this third bread that he's planned in the 6th chapter of John and then the 26th chapter of Matthew, Paul bringing it back to us, studying about this ordinance or this doctrine that God has set in the church of communion, that we may partake of it. Every time we take of it, it reminds us of his death, meaning it reminds us of all the benefits that we have because he died. Uh-huh. like healing, prosperity, I mean, every way. Eternal life, number one. See? So it's not something we just come to take to please God. Listen to me now. It has an accessing ability. See, when you take this communion, you're accessing something. You're making an announcement. You make an announcement that I'm not under the law of sin and death. I'm under the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And all what the Bible says is mine, I'm making an announcement of it today. All my benefits and all my blessings. Remember when you said, blessed be the God and Father, in Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. When we take this communion, we make an announcement. I know I'm blessed. Amen. And I know whom the Lord has blessed, nobody can curse. Right. Yeah. Right. Then I'm going to find out some people that the enemy have cursed, and I'm going to bless them. Yeah. See, you're making this announcement no matter where you are in life at this point. You're making the announcement, I'm on my way where God say I'm supposed to be. Right. Are you following me? Yes, so I want to dig a little deeper into this bread, into this wine, into Jesus saying, I'm the bread of life. The Apostle Paul was straightening out doctrine. And he could not be an apostle called by men to do that. Because he couldn't let organization stop him. So he's coming straight from heaven. A word straight from God. And therefore a lot of doctrine in the church. Churches he had established, he left, and they brought other doctrines in it. I think this is what happened to the modern day church. Men have brought doctrines in the church in their own way and have not given it like God said give it. Therefore, the church suffers sickness and disease, lack, et cetera, et cetera. Everybody's suffering because the minister gift have not had their position in the church because men have not lived right before the people. So therefore, the church has lost its edge, its cutting edge. To bring the church back to our cutting edge, to bring believers back to their cutting edge, they're going to have to get these doctrines straight and understand what they mean, especially communion. Communion is one of the greatest doctrine, greatest revelation in the body of Christ. But yet people just come to church to take it. They really don't know the significance of it. So my job is to pinpoint communion have been perverted in the church. You know it's perverted if a person got getting themselves ready 2 days before to take it. And then they're going to go back the next day and do what they want to do until next month. Because they don't really understand the significance. So that's why many are sick. That's why many are weakly. That's why many die prematurely. Because they're not discerning, not so much their life, they're not discerning the meaning of Jesus' body and Jesus' blood. They take it lightly. They don't take the full, they got insurance, but they're not using the whole policy. So communion had been perverted by the church at large. Now, a lot of ministers get hot with me about this, but they didn't get hot because I've seen a whole bunch of them, of the church. The church is not in our place now. Look how sad you look, how bad you look. The church, she's not in our place. See, in communion, back to that we had a text of 26 verse. I'm just working with it. In communion, and you read the whole chapter. You should be able to read the whole chapter now about me preaching that, you know. In communion is remembrance, consecration, commitment, connection. See, when we partake of this bread, we're making consecration that I'm the Lord's child, huh? Yes, and then we're letting the world know I'm connected. Right. I'm connected to somebody nobody can stop. Right. Right. I'm connected to somebody that nothing is impossible. Yeah. See, we have to have faith when we're doing, oh my, when we're doing, I see this southern anointing coming on me. You see, not this emotional anointing. See, well, my God. So, it's, and then communion will make you committed. See, because you're not only trying to show the Lord death to the devil, you're showing it to yourself. Look what the Lord has done for me. I got to be committed. I can't be complacent about this. Man, eternal life? There's a hell out yonder I don't have to go to, man. So I'm going to give God a portion of my life that nobody else can get. It bring commitment. Then, not only that, this is so important. It's identification. It brings forth an identity that you can't get from nowhere else. If you understand it, I'm under the blood. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. So it creates an identity of a believer that nobody else can have. And so when I take communion, I'm identifying with the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension and seated place of Jesus Christ. All power is in my hand in heaven and earth. And when you take communion in that identity, you can understand, then you can understand Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you power. Tread upon serpents, scorpions, the power of the enemy, do you no harm. Are you following me? All of this is in partaking. It's a celebration, but it's also an access into the promises and the benefit of these exceeding great and precious promises are in that communion. You know, our problem has been, oh, I done wrong. Now I got to take communion. I got to pray and get myself straight. Man, just ask God to forgive you. Jesus. You mess up, just ask God to forgive you. He'll forgive you. If your heart's sincere, he'll forgive you. How many times he forgive you? He'll forgive you, forgive you. So forgive you, forgive you, forgive you. And finally, he ain't going to have to forgive you for that. Because you're going to become appreciative and say, thank you, Lord. I got this. The Holy Spirit is helping me now, you see. So it's identification. Now, this is why, you're listening? This is why we don't have much sanctification in the church. Because the identification has to come before sanctification. Sanctification means I'm set apart. I can't just let anybody use me. The Lord's going to use me. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Y'all better talk to me, y'all. This ain't too emotional, is it? See? But sanctification, that I'm set apart. I can live right. I can do what's right. I can hold up the bloodstained banner. Huh? I have power in me to live right. The greater one lives on the inside of me. See? So identification produces sanctification. Now, we have very little sanctification in the body of Christ at large. Everybody want to go to heaven. Everybody talking about heaven. But people don't want to live right. I said people don't want to live right. Basically what it is, though, people do not know how to live right. See, because if you don't understand communion, you don't understand your connection and your identification, you might go do anything. I just can't do anything to me myself. Old folks say, got some rain on the inside of me. When I go around, somebody pulling that rain, telling me, say, no, you shouldn't be doing that. Pull that rain, you know. And then finally, my father, that some horses you got to have tight rein on. Some horses you got to have tight rein because they'll run off, you see. You remember Jesse and Jerry, right? Jesse laid back. You can just talk to him, but Jerry, you can't talk to him. You got to hold rein on him. I found out that if you want to walk with God and you study, them rein get tight in you. And you feel something holding you from doing it, all that crazy stuff. Right? Somebody in y'all ought to have some rein on. Yeah, you got you're constrained to live right. See? But it comes through a development. It comes through just taking bread and cracker and drinking some juice. Access. Now the Bible. Hold your Bible. Hold your Bible. Just shake your Bible at me. Access. You got access to all of this. That's what communion is saying. Everything God said, communion represents the access of it because he say you do show the Lord's death till he come. Access. How many want your access to what God says is yours? The rest of y'all, what y'all want? What y'all doing up here wasting my time? I said, how many of y'all want the access to what God says is yours? Well, you have to have understanding. You have to have the Spirit revealing who God really is and what Jesus really has done for you. Then anointing and authority come when you take communion right. Misconduct in taking and in life, in taking the Lord's Supper, which is a violation of an ordinance or a doctrine of God, I want to bring you back to something that I taught you many years ago. I want you to turn to a scripture. So we're going to turn to 2 Timothy 3:16. I'm just teaching communion this morning. Go to sleep if you want. Just go on to sleep. We'll wake you up when it's time to take it. But I've said enough to close right now. You're talking about your identification, your consecration, and your sanctification. It comes with understanding by the Spirit. I'm just not going to do this no more. See, what we got in the body of Christ now, people are trying to teach grace without the cross. Yeah, they're trying to teach grace. Grace, 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 without the cross. You got to have the cross in it. In 2 Timothy 3:16, come on with me, 2 Timothy 3:16. Then I'll try to get further. I'll try to get further. We're dealing with being partakers of the grace of communion properly. Being partakers of the grace of communion properly. In 2 Timothy 3:16, this scripture will help us. All scripture, come on, let's read it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? For what? What's the first thing? Doctrine. All right, let's find out what doctrine is. Hold up, let's find out what doctrine is. The established order of God. Write that down. The established doctrine is the established order of God. For what else? Reproof. All right, reproof. Dismantling of erroneous teaching and erroneous thinking. Dismantling. That's what I'm aiming to do now with the help of the Holy Ghost. I'm trying to dismantle years and years and years and years of erroneous understanding of communion in the body of Christ at large. I didn't say you didn't understand, you understand? But it's some things you don't understand too. You've been taking it so long you think you understand it. Then for what? For what else? The assimilation of truth in thought process. In other words, getting the truth lined up right. People talk about they're free. Most Christians are not free because they don't have the assimilation of the truth in their thought process right. And then for instruction, right? Instruction in righteousness. And that's the systematic application of God's word into your life. The systematic application of God's word into your life. I want to go over some things I went with you at the beginning. And maybe my father taught me, my spiritual father taught me, teach it over again. Jesus taught it over again. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and Jesus just teaching. And you read them, he just teaches. Jesus almost taught the same thing. I'm told that every town he went in, his text was Luke 4:18. Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He wanted the people to know that he was anointed and he wasn't just another preacher coming through town. In Ephesians chapter 3, I want to go back over some things. Some of the strongest churches I know are churches who teach people properly and don't have them on just. I know sometimes the Holy Ghost hit, we just can't contain ourselves, but not just on the emotional roller coaster of emotion that people can understand. When you understand, you can handle it then. And so I know, I'm matured enough to know that to do what the Lord has called me to do, I got to go through a time of switching. And I know I got to go through this solemn assembly sometime. But I can handle it. Because the result's going to be so much better for you if you can get this thing out right. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, it says, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is the greatest given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the what? In that communion is released the unsearchable riches of Christ. But if you don't understand communion, you don't understand the cross. If you don't understand the cross, you cannot take the Bible and walk in the unsearchable riches of Christ without understanding the man doctrine. Right. Right. She gives those man doctrines for a reason. Notice verse 9, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. See, communion is a mystery. Communion is a kingdom mystery that a regular person can't take it and get out what comes out of it. But when the church don't understand it, they take it and don't get what they're supposed to get. I just took my communion. No, you partook of a grace that can heal your body. You partook of a grace that can save your soul. Are you following me?
Yes,
save your family.
Yes.
Save your home.
Yes. That's right.
Today, in a few minutes, you'll be partaking of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The loving grace of God is in communion.
Yes.
I said the loving grace of God is in communion. He gave his son to die for me. And so we become more reverent. We don't only remember now. We become more reverent of the things of God. And we've been trained again. We've been trained so emotionally. Until you can't hardly teach people to enter in. Okay. Verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world have been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. All right, look at this. Unsearchable riches. Now hear ye at the manifold wisdom of God. Do you know the unsearchable riches of Christ, and you know the manifold wisdom of God? Nothing can tie you down. But if you skip it, see, if you don't know the depth and understanding of communion, you skip the unsearchable riches, you skip the manifold wisdom of God, and you're just a church member.
Right. Amen. Right.
Amen. Yeah. Matter of fact, you're just a church mouth.
Right.
M-O-U-S-E.
Right.
Running around looking for a piece of cheese.
Right.
That's welfare Christianity.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And see, many Christians are welfare Christians.
Right.
That in the spirit.
Right.
They're looking for a handout in the spirit.
Right.
We're not talking about material things now. We're talking about knowing God.
Right. Yes,
they're welfare in the spirit.
Right.
They're living on spiritual welfare.
Right.
Because if you see what I'm saying, Joe?
Yes,
because if they understood, they'd be more stronger
right.
in the Lord and in the power of his might. Putting on the whole armor of God.
Yes.
Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. See, you're supposed to have power when you talk.
Yes. Yes.
See? When you walk in the room, principality of the power of the spirit of wisdom say, oh, he done got here.
That's right.
Because there's a person walked in who knew their rights.
Right.
That's not a person who walked in spitting out scriptures.
Uh-huh.
We all, John 4:5, just spitting out scriptures. And the devil said, I ain't going nowhere.
Uh-huh.
I'm about to hit me three more people up here because
uh-huh.
she don't have no power. She don't have no commitment. She not, why you use a she, Reverend? He don't have no, he don't have no consecration, and I ain't paying no attention to what he said.
Yeah. Come on now.
Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose, what you purpose in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now notice this next verse now. Notice this next verse. In whom we have what?
Boldness.
And what?
Access.
With what?
Confidence.
By the faith of him.
Yes,
boldness, access, and confidence when you need it. Boldness, access, and confidence. See, this is what this communion is talking about. Now, let me go over some points that the Lord have given me. I started telling you some of them. I never get to them. Barbara be trying to get me to go back over it again. She said, you know, you didn't take the other spouse. You didn't see that. All right, communion is communicating with the benefit of what Christ did at the cross. So you'll be communicating with the benefits, all right? It's a reminder of the connection and ability to bear fruit. It is a declaration of you being more than a conqueror when you take communion. Watch this one now. You have a right to be a commander in spiritual things. Nothing of the curse can hold you down. If you take communion, nothing of the curse can hold you down. Now, I said to you, being a partaker of the grace of communion proper, this is meant to proclaim not only the atoning sacrifice necessary for our salvation, but as well as an ongoing cause of our continuous victory in life. Let me get that again. You need to hear this. See, this is meant to proclaim not only the atoning sacrifice necessary for our salvation, but as well as an ongoing call of our continuous victory in life. Y'all ain't responding right. Is that deep? Y'all just down there that deep, or y'all just lazy? You listen to that. You're going to get out there and say what you respond. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm almost through. See, I'm going to put it out, but you're going to have to get it. This is only possible by yielding fully to the communion of the Holy Spirit, that he will open this grace, understanding benefit to us clearly in the Spirit through our spirit. Turn to 2 Corinthians right quick. Look at verse 13. We're going to read verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to read verse 14. Second Corinthians 13, 14. How long is it going to take you to get there? Coming back, I'm cutting back to 45 minutes. Take y'all 45 minutes to find the scripture. No, I'm just y'all ready to read. See the amen. The communion of the Holy Ghost right in there. The communion of communion is right in there. Alright. By having a God-given revelation of the twofold aspect of being crucified. You know, we went through a lot of scripture. We went through the preaching of the cross in 1 Corinthians. Yes, you put this in note 17 and 18, preach the cross. When you preach the cross, you're preaching communion. Yes, when you preach the cross, you're preaching Christ. Yes, all right, you got that? Yes, look again now in 1 Corinthians 2:2 quickly. Look in 1 Corinthians 2:2. Once you get to this position, you're on your way. 1 Corinthians 2:2. I'm determined not to know anything. Yes, but read. I want y'all to read this. Are you ready? Read it.
I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Now, modernly, this is not right. This technical modern society, modern church, this don't work. And so what happened, we modernized the power hour. Everything that, boy, I feel the Holy Ghost. Everything that looked like power is not power. This man, this apostle said, I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Why? That goes back to our text, that you might show the Lord death till he come. That's saying the same thing. When you show the Lord death in any problem, Satan is defeated. Do you understand that? When you understand what I'm trying to put in you as a membership, as a pastor, when you understand the Lord's death is the chief spiritual requirement that a person needs, you're going to be in victory all the time. Look at this apostle. The apostle got all kind of rubbish. I'm determined not to know anything among you. This is the man who wrote 14 books of the Bible. But he said, I'm determined not to know anything among you. All what I wrote, this is what it come down to. Jesus Christ said, and him crucified. Christ is the source. The cross is the mean. My faith in the object of the cross gives the Holy Spirit latitude movement in my life. Galatians 6, 14, let's go over it. It's communion. Here the apostle said it again. God forbid that I not glory in the size of my church, I not glory in how much money I have, I not glory in nothing, but I keep my eyes glory in nothing but in the cross of Christ. That's what communion is about. See? You do this and your life will change. What it says, God forbid. Hold it now, hold it, hold it. You're about to see something here now. You're about to see something. See, many people are not crucified to the world. Now let go ahead and read it and think about what he's saying. Now go ahead and read the whole verse over again. Is the world really crucified to you? Are you really crucified to the world? No, you can't, because the teaching and preaching have not been firm enough to get this mess out of your life. These little things that keep messing us up. Come on. Keep messing us up and we don't be in the spirit and think we're in the spirit. Then we got the Bible. Because we got the Bible, we think we're in the spirit. Because we know six voices, I'm in the spirit. The Lord told me, Lord sent me. No power. You don't need to shout my name because I'm preaching good. So if you look in Galatians 2:21, 20 verse say, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ living in the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That was the 20 verse said. But the 21st verse is a major verse. Because of not taking our time to do what we're doing now, many times we have frustrated the grace of God. You imagine trying to pray and you frustrated God's grace? Almost we can say it this way. I've shut the door of grace on my life for a season. Because I won't obey God. You know, God loves you, but you ain't going to be powerful. Every Christian got a right to be powerful. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Every Christian got a right to be powerful. Because
yes.
You're anointed to be powerful.
Yes, sir.
But we shut the door on that grace by doing something else. See? Even my dumb fault by not having church on Christmas. That shut a door on a grace. See, I notice y'all don't know how important it is. Y'all still in our tradition. I'm hooked up to you, trying to pull you out, but I can't even get you out. You're so stuck. Listen, it's a grace for us to come and celebrate Jesus' birthday. Some of y'all ain't coming. See, I got so much notes here. I'm trying to see some of the things I didn't tell you. I need to get it all in you. The cross, the commission, and the Christian. This divine connection, this divine combination could not and when properly understood, cannot be defeated. The cross, the commission, you know, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel, we're told to do, and the Christian. It's a divine connection. This divine combination could not, and when properly understood, cannot be defeated. See, they couldn't defeat the cross.
Right?
So why so many Christians are defeated? They don't know the significance of the cross and the power. See, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, but it's the power of God and the salvation. For the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who perish, but to us who believe, what it is?
Power
of God. So suppose we left it out. Now, the word of faith at large left it out. I know many listen to me now, hot and mad and turned different colors, but we left it out. We're not talking about honorable mention it.
Right.
Right. We're talking about left. We're talking about it being in the center of all we believe. Jesus did it.
Yes.
And the reason people can't live right, and the reason people can't stay in church, is because the church is just as social as a social club. With no cross, you got a social church. But with the cross, you got a church of conviction. That a person coming at and they sin, shame them. Say, man, I don't want this in my life. And the preacher says something to get it out their life. And the next time they come back, they say, no, I got something in here to handle you. See, a person got to have something in them to stop things.
Yeah.
Talk to me in here.
Yeah.
You got to have something in you to stop things because it's going to come back.
Right.
The devil's cycling. All right, you got happy in church today. All right.
Yeah.
So you need to make a deposit. When he come, you be able to pull a sword out. I said, no, you don't.
Yeah.
See, I know something. Here's what Jesus is saying when we take communion. Here's the devil don't want you to remember this, but Jesus said, remember I died for you. Remember I was buried for you. And remember I rose for you. Remember I died for you. I was buried for you. And I rose for you. I want you to remember that. Knowing, give me a few more minutes, knowing how to reinforce the power of the cross and communion together. Knowing how to reinforce the power of the cross and communion together. When you take this communion, everything that happened on the cross belonged to me. Then the Holy Spirit helps you, you see. The Holy Spirit, his job is to anoint you there. Rediscovering, listen to this. Rediscovering beyond the traditional value, the real value of this all-powerful table of the Lord. See, that's why we got somewhat of a struggle. If you're in a race and you took off before the whistle was blown, you're at the other end of the track shouting. And they back there calculating who's the winner. What I'm saying is, see, we took off with this traditional setting and really don't know the comprehensive power and glory and provision that belonged to me as a child of God. He wouldn't have put communion in there if it wasn't for a reason. And let go back to our text, 1 Corinthians 11:29-26. Look what he said. As often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, look what he said, you show. He ain't saying no fancy meeting. He says, no, you show the Lord death till he come. Ain't too exciting no more. We got so many squeeze and ease in. When the person says, show the Lord death till he come, the church is solemn. Ain't no more spunk in it no more. Because, see, we so smart now. We done outsmart ourselves out of power. We got this fake stuff. We think it's power just because we're falling out. That ain't no power. Power is when you can get up.
Yeah.
When the devil knock you out. Nobody laid a hand on you. The devil will knock you flat on your back. And you can get up. That's power.
Yeah.
Power ain't when no usher picking you up. See, we want service. We want service and people falling out and running and crying. So we get that. We get that. But you ought to know why you're running. You finally gonna have to stop running. And when you're running, Mr. Devil gonna be standing there. Say, I saw you running in church Sunday. All right. Let's run right now. I'm gonna slap you upside the head. You don't know what to do. You ain't got nothing on the inside of you. Rendering all the power of darkness powerless towards you and your assignment. How many of y'all like that? I get somebody here, rendering all the power of darkness. You know what that means?
Yes,
this is what Jesus did when he died.
Yes,
he said, y'all come on. Do what y'all gonna do. They nailed him to the cross. All the power of darkness was there. And they was laughing and we got him now. But you know what? The third day.
Yes.
Did he get up?
Yes.
How many of y'all believe he got up?
Yes.
How many of y'all believe he got all power in his hand?
Yes.
That's why we got to understand communion. That's what he's reminding us. All power is in my hand. Nothing can take you out. I'm telling you, you might have problems. You might have things coming against you, but you better know nothing can stop you. You better know you're more powerful than anything that come against you. You come aware of that when you're at this table. You have to come aware of that. You have to know. Listen, this is what the old folks said. They was right. You got to know for yourself. And what your preacher know, and then what the person sitting next to you know, you got to know for yourself why I'm taking this communion. And then you have to know there are going to come attacks in your life. There are going to come things that try to take you out. But it cannot take me out. Just as Jesus got up, I got up with it. I didn't only die with him, I got up with it. God dog it. If all power is in his hand, all power is in my hand. All I gotta do is tap into him. He'll give me the power I need to take care of this thing. Sure. See what I'm talking about? Now give me 5 more minutes. Sit down. Give me 5 more minutes. Power, man. Holy Ghost power. Word power. I got power. I ain't gonna sit back and just take anything. I'm a fight, man. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life.
Come on, bring it.
I'm not just a church goer.
Yeah.
I'm anointed. Say it. With the Spirit of the Living God. And stop feeling sorry for yourself because you're going through something. Stand up and fight everybody going through something. Let the devil lie to you talking about you're not going to have no challenge. You're going to have something come against you. But it's not what come against you. It's what you know to do when it come against you. How you know how to stand? Do you know how to stand in the power of the cross? He died for me. He rose for me. He ascended for me. Get all this worry and fear out of your life. See, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get sickness out. I'm trying to get worry, fear out. See, a person really know what they're doing when they come here and take communion. This is not just a month, 1 month affair. They got to carry it throughout your whole life. You're just reminding yourself that I can live right. I can't, yeah. I can live right. Holes come and holes go. Just don't get in the flow. I got your attention now. Y'all listen now. I better say something else. Make y'all listen. Y'all listen. Don't let a hoe make you a hoe. It ain't just got women hoes, it got men hoes. Soon as they ask you, what's your name? What you want to know what my name is? Don't sit on no fig tree if you don't want to eat no figs. I don't know where that come from. Don't sit on a fig tree if you don't want to eat no fig. Get under the tree you won't eat from. Come on, give me another minute or two. Come on. Just as the act of water baptism outwardly declares or confesses an inward experience of salvation through the blood of the Lord Jesus, each observant of the Lord's table is a powerful occasion to remind you of who you are in Christ. In the ordinance of communion, in a few moments, we're going to be doing this. Matter of fact, boy, y'all can go get it. The Christian confesses before all heaven that he not only has believed, but that he has not forgotten.
Wow. That's good.
I have not forgotten who I am. I have not forgotten what I read in God's word, that God said he'll never leave me nor forsake me. I have not forgotten that God said he had not given me the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I have not forgotten that God said that name all these things. I'm more than a conqueror. I have not forgotten God said all things work together for good for them that love God, those who are called according to his power. I have not forgotten. God said he prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemy. He anointed my head with oil. My cup runs over. I have not forgotten. God said he'll lead me beside the still water. He'll lead me in green pasture. He'll lead me in the paths of righteousness. I have not forgotten. The Lord said, the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I have not forgotten. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. I have not forgotten. He said, you have overcome them, little children, because greater is he that is in you than he is. I have not forgotten. He said, if I'm for you, who can be against you? When I come to this table, it reminded me of all the things God has said about me. I have not forgotten. No weapon. Woo, Lord. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises to me shall be condemned in judgment. For this is the heritage of the servant. I have not forgotten who I am in Christ. The table is a reminder that you're not of, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. It reminds you that you're greater than the world. The world make itself and show its flip his tail around in front of you as if they're so great. You ever run up on sinners who think they're greater than you? Just slap them. If they could have the whole world in their hand, but you got Christ, man. Ain't nobody greater than the person who have Christ. You're not broke. You got Jesus on the inside of you. And listen to me. I wonder, can y'all get right for this? Every time I mess up, he forgive me and show me how not to. How many of y'all need grace? See, y'all don't, one don't need grace, y'all already dead. Because we need that amazing grace, my brothers and sisters. Ooh, Jesus. In remembrance involve more than just memory. The word suggests an active calling to mind. In a few moments, we're going to do that. The word for introduced the reason the supper is continually repeated. It is an acted sermon, for it proclaims the Lord's death. See, Jesus is preaching a sermon. When you take that cup, come and get that cup today, he's preaching. You're preaching a sermon. The outward act of faith as the bread and cup is taken is explicitly to say it to be an ongoing active confession. Literally, you are proclaiming that you're the Lord's child. Each occasion of partaking is an opportunity to say, proclaim, or confess again, I herewith lay hold of all the benefits of Jesus Christ for redemption for my life. That's what you're going to be doing in a few minutes. What is it? Forgiveness, wholeness, strength, health, sufficiency, prosperity. The Lord's Supper or communion is not to be simply a ritual remembrance, but an active confession by what you actually will to call to memory and appropriate today that all that Jesus has provided and promised through his cross belong to me. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. I'm talking to you too. Everybody stand up. We're about to take communion, but I need everybody to stand up. Because y'all got a tendency, y'all sit down when you see the majority of the people up, y'all sit down anyway. Who you are? See, some things you just got to do it by faith. Everybody else up, why you sitting down? Now, if your leg don't hold you, that's one thing. You make an effort, you might get healed. I'm trying to teach you how to flow. You don't know how to flow, you know. Communion is a physical act releasing a spiritual truth. You will never understand communion in the natural. Amen. Amen. Listen to this. It does not only represent eternal life. How many of y'all got eternal life? But you got another side to this thing. but perpetual victory in my life now. Jesus is the bread of life, of spiritual life. You understand me? Watch, when your faith is applied, rules all of life. Now, I live right. I don't proclaim to be no spiritual giant. But if you got some understanding, you'll know how to live right. Oh, I like this one. I like this one. I remember the Lord told me. Communion is not a parable, but a doctrine of redemption. Why? Because Jesus instituted it as a finishing work of the cross. See, sometimes we've been taking communion as a parable. You know, come take it, and it's a parable. All right? You must see it in another realm. I'm going to talk more about that next week. By faith to understand and receive the benefit of communion. May I say that again?
Yes, sir.
You must see it, or you must see into another realm by faith to understand and receive the benefit of communion. Here's what it boils down to. Communion equal cross. Cross equal communion. And it brings total deliverance to your life. Lift your hand and praise God for a moment as we get ready to pray. Father, we thank you today. We're having to do what you told us about teaching in the body of Christ. We know that we don't have a voice here in Darrell, but we have a voice around the world. Men and women are listening to me and all around the world. I know you created this voice in this wilderness for something. And so today, may every person who's been listening have a better understanding of what they're about to partake of. May the Holy Spirit take the things that have been said and imprint them in our hearts and bring them up in our memory. Enlighten our spirit, that our spirit can enlighten our mind. We thank you. We bless this bread and bless this cup today. Bless these people who are about to partake. Everyone in this house, whatever they need, Lord, grant it to them as they come and walk today and take their communion. And with some understanding, better understanding, we thank you for that understanding in Jesus' name. The believer, y'all just get ready. Go ahead and get lined up like y'all supposed to be. The believer's departing from the cross and from the understanding of communion is inviting spiritual wreckage. And that's why so many Christians going through so much stuff. Without the Holy Ghost help, you will never understand communion. Just remain standing while they're preparing. Just remain standing. I got to shift the change, you know. If your leg hurts, just go ahead and sit down. But just understand it why you know. Just understand. Just think about it. Lift your hand. Just thank God. Lift your hand. Thank God for his goodness. Just thank God. Just tell the Lord you want to know more about communion. You want to know about what this means. Just help me, Lord, to understand. Help me to receive from my man of God. Help me to know it's not just a once a month. It's not just something I just come do. It's a reality. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. All right, then, Mac, y'all got it. Well, where's the basket for when they when after they get through with it? Right there? All right, on this side. Got one over there, too? Do people know where it is? How many we got? All right, okay. I got to help the people if they don't see it. Got to make sure they know where they're going. Just think about some of the things I taught you this morning. The more things the Holy Spirit is going to teach you. God loves you and you love God. Just tell Jesus I love you before you take that communion. Say, Jesus, I love you. Just tell Jesus you love him and thank him. Thank Jesus for doing this for you. It's a sacred moment. It's spiritual. Tell Jesus you love him before you take it. Say, Jesus, I love you. Say it. Y'all saying it? Jesus, I love you. Say it. Say it. Jesus, I love you before you put in your mouth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, down a little bit. What transpired when the Lord died? Keep walking, keep taking. What benefit did it release? He's gone to heaven, but he's coming back again. In the meantime, I have to learn how to appropriate what he has already done now. Every time I eat this bread and drink this cup, I'm testifying that my life is covered by the blood of Jesus, no matter what comes. I'll read that again. I'll read that again. Every time I eat this bread and drink this cup, I am testifying that my life is covered by the blood of Jesus, no matter what comes. I fully believe in the victory of the cross of Christ. Nothing can take me out because I'm already in Christ. Nothing can take me out because I'm already in by Christ and his cross. Now, y'all got to say before y'all take the communion, Jesus, I love you. Or say it after, but say it. Jesus, I love you. Thank you. So we can get ourselves more apt to understand what's going on. Communion is communicating with the benefit of what Christ did at the cross. It's a reminder of the connection and the ability to live right, to bear fruit. It's a declaration that you're more than a conqueror. You have the right of being a commander in spiritual things. Nothing of the curse can hold you down. My, my. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The only way one can dwell in Christ and Christ in him, what's guarantee of victorious life, is for the cross to ever be the object of his faith and his mind carry it on daily basis. Communion is a revelation of the finished work of Christ on the cross to produce eternal life. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ, every joint supply. I can't hear y'all. Jesus, I love you. Thank you. Communion reminds you that you're living in the winner's circle. Hallelujah. I'm living in a winner's circle. Having a clear vision of the insight of the Christ, the cross, the communion, and the Christian is the Christian right in life. Practice the truth of communion as God designed will help to renew your mind to be free from the thoughts of the enemy. As a child of God, knowing how to take communion properly will keep you in a winner's attitude. Hallelujah. All cycles of defeat must go under your feet today. All cycles of defeat must go under your feet today. The strings of impossibilities that have tried to line up in your life must meet the possibility of the blood today. Y'all didn't hear that. I know y'all didn't hear that. The string, a whole lot of impossibility that have tried to line up in your life must meet the possibilities of the blood today. Good God Almighty. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, what I say today, let it take in the life of every person in the sound of my voice. People in this room who really love you, and we know you love us all. Whatever changes we need to make in our life, Holy Spirit, help us to make those changes that we can well represent the kingdom of God. I bless every person in the sound of my voice today, apostolically, pastorally, prophetically, that things will come to pass in their life that it will make this world wonder how they got there. I thank you, Father, as we represent you as much grace as we can get a hold of. I know you honor your word and you honor obedience. Bless Word of Life Christian Center that she can be an example to the body of Christ, example to the world. We thank you for all churches that open in your name, all ministers of the gospel, that we'll come on one accord and begin to preach this cross and explain to God's people how to live to the glory of the King. Thank you that healing, your healing power. We think about this woman with the 13 tumors. We thank you for your miracle working power in this room to bless your people. We praise your name and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Now remember, I want you to put it on your calendar. We're going to have church Christmas morning at 10 o'clock, New Year's Eve, 10 o'clock that Tuesday night, I think, right? Yes, yeah. We have service, you call it watch service, and we want you all to be here, all right? Any other announcement I have, Montreal? Montreal, not even in here. What other announcement? Huh? Service today, Montreal, you don't know? It's circle today and you don't know and you the head man? You told me no. Then the people start walking in, you want to tell me to call the people back. They're not holding y'all long when y'all gonna make your circle, you just make a circle, right? Y'all know why we do this? Huh? Somebody, one person said yeah. Yeah, keep up and make sure you get in the, you know, because sometimes the devil jump on a member, we don't know it, you know. That's all we're trying to do. So life battles, get in play. Denise got a Mercedes and And Bunny's got a Mercedes. Y'all just getting Mercedes, huh? All right, Mercedes, ladies. Well, give me Bunny's farm one now. Y'all put a red ribbon around it. Wear it on with your bad self. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I love it. See, he announced Mercedes. Yes, I'm announcing them. Thank God we can church can drive Mercedes. You out your crazy mind? Yes, glory. Y'all should have said hallelujah. I'm too good. I got a Mercedes. Thank God. The Al Capone been driving the Mercedes long enough. I'm thinking about a Bentley. Just thinking right now. I'm just thinking right now, but I'll be going to shift after a while. She said she think about one, two, Pastor. Don't let that upset your communion now. I'm going to Florida next week. I'm going to look at them. I'm going to Florida next week. Just want to take a look. All right, y'all ain't playing? Because we got to let God's people go. I don't know where they're going, but we got to let them go. Or they all communion. They took the communion right. They're going to do what's right. Right? All right, find your circle. Go ahead. God bless you as you go. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Find your circle. Sign the paper.